Scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter, the first 7 verses. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told him this parable. Suppose someone among you had 100 sheep and lost one of them. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he is thrilled and places it on his shoulders. When he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Celebrate with me because I found my lost sheep." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their hearts and lives. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. How important are you? How important are you feeling right now? Are folks kind of helping you to feel very important and significant right now? Or are you having a little bit of a problem with that? I was in a conversation with some ministers this week, and you know, all ministers like to think that their churches really just could not keep going on without them. Several of us who kind of have that opinion of ourselves, we're letting a little bit of that slip. And somebody that was listening in on that conversation just reminded us, and you may have heard these words before yourself, nobody is indispensable. Nobody is indispensable. Just kind of puts you in your place, you know. I know that you probably don't have to have me as your pastor, or probably have to have any particular minister. The only one that's really indispensable in church is Jesus Christ. But, you know, sometimes we forget that. We think that sometimes it's a little bit more about me than maybe I thought. After, you know, somebody comes up, or maybe you have 2 or 3 Sundays in a row. Somebody came up to Terry just a while ago and said, "I tell you, that message that you delivered this morning, it was right on, timely. It was just what I needed to hear." And, you know, sometimes people say that about me, that I do that. If I get that a lot, like 3-4 weeks in a row, I start hearing this little voice in my head, and it goes something like, "Nobody does it better." Makes me feel sad for the rest. You're the best. Oh, you know, God has a way of exalting the humble and humbling the exalted. And the one that he put in my life to humble the exalted is Donna. She's been very good over the years to kind of help me stay in line and to remember who this is all about, what this is all about. And it would do us all good to do that. But I discovered it's not just in the ministry. It's in everything. My dad, when he retired from Alabama Power Company a number of years ago, we were talking about retirement and what it was like. And he just looked at me and said, "You know, they had to hire 3 people to do what I was doing. I was completing 15 projects a week, and there's 3, and they're working to just finish 5 projects a week." And you know, sometimes we have to toot our own horn. I don't know what makes us feel so unimportant and so insignificant that sometimes we need some way of making ourselves feel a little bit important. And you know, it is kind of that way. You're in a place for a while. You move, and your old friends find new friends other than you. And you move on and you find new friends yourself instead of your old friends. It's just kind of the way that it goes. And some people really realize how people in their life can go on with their life without them. Sometimes even spouses that you thought would never say goodbye to you do. And you see, how are they going on? How are they going on with their life? I thought that I was so important with them. This could never happen. It's not easy to always feel important. I like what Louis Grizzard said. He said, you know, it's kind of a sobering thought to think that the attendance at my funeral will depend largely that day upon the weather. And I guess that's true. And I want to give you another perspective changer. I was just thinking about this. I called Siri this morning and asked her how many people are on the earth. And Siri told me that there were 7.28 billion people on the earth right now. 7.28 billion. Now that's a different 7.28 billion than were here roughly a century ago. None of those were here then. There was another group here. All of them left, and now we have 7.2 billion. You're one of them. But you know, in another century or so, there's going to be a whole new group. This 7 billion that we're a part of, we're all going to be gone, and there's going to be another 7 billion or so here. So you're 1/7 billionth of this population that's got a few years here, but then, you know, we're going to be gone too. So that's kind of a part of the perspective. But another part of that perspective, I can never wrap my mind around these things, but one of the most recent that I heard regarding this universe of ours. If you were to look through the bowl of the Big Dipper, actually right through that space is 1 million galaxies. Just through the bowl of the Big Dipper, 1 million galaxies, like our Milky Way galaxy. That's a pretty big universe, isn't it? I was in the Space and Rocket Museum not too long ago, and I was looking at some pictures from the Hubble telescope, and it was giving me one at the time that said, this is a picture of light that's been traveling for 10,000 years. 186,000 miles per second, and it's been traveling for 10,000 years, and with this big, powerful telescope, we are just now seeing that light. So you're 1/6 billionth of a population for just a few years in a universe that goes on to infinity. So really, how important are you feeling? How important really are we? Sometimes you got to stretch. And sometimes when you're thinking you're important, somebody might just do that little child's question, oh yeah, who says? Who says you're important? My grandchildren, they're always quoting their parents. My mama says, you know, but we're looking, who says we're important? And I want to tell you, that's why I love Jesus and the way he tells stories. And I'm intrigued especially by this story that Jesus tells. Because he says that one is important. He's telling about a shepherd that has 100 sheep, and out of the 100, one gets lost. And he doesn't say, well, you know, 99 out of 100 is pretty good. One is indispensable every once in a while. You're just going to do that, but you know, still 99, that's pretty good. But he said, no. What does he do? He leaves the 99 that are in place, and he goes in search. He goes seeking and searching for just one, the one that was lost. And not only that, when he finds that one, starts rejoicing and calls everybody to rejoice with him, because even finding one, especially finding one that was lost, is something to celebrate. It's a big deal. So for Jesus, a flock of sheep If you're one of them, you're not just one one-hundredth of a flock. That sheep that was lost was not just one one-hundredth. That sheep was important in and of itself. Max Lucado has a way of talking about this and about this parable that Jesus told. He said, you know, when I look at sheep, I see sheep. I mean, a flock of sheep, they all look just alike. I mean, look into the face, they all look just alike. I don't see a sheep. I see sheep. Not so with a shepherd. When a shepherd looks at a flock of sheep, a shepherd sees each face, and each face has a story, and each one is known by name. You know, the one that has the droopy eyes, that's droopy. The one that has an ear that goes this way and one out that way, we named him Oscar. And the one that has that black patch, the little one, who doesn't have any siblings in the flock, that's the one that we named Joseph. Each sheep has a name. Each face has a story on it, and the shepherd knows each one of those. Isn't it amazing? So when I see a crowd, I'm trying not to be that way with you. I don't want to see a crowd. I really do want to know your name. But generally when I see a crowd, that's what I see. I see a crowd. I don't see individual persons. I don't see a person in there that I know and I know by name, that I see their face. But it's just a crowd. But the shepherd does. The one with the sad eyes, that's Sally. The one that has an eyebrow that goes up and one that goes down. We call him Harry. And the one that's little, that doesn't have any brothers or sisters, we call him Joey. Every sheep, every person, God knows. In fact, I love what Isaiah says in Isaiah 49, where he says, God has your name written in the palm of his hand. Now think of the places where you've seen your name before. Maybe it was on a trophy that you got when you were a kid, or maybe it's on a diploma or a degree. Maybe there's a plaque somewhere that has your name on it, an award, an appreciation. Maybe it's on the back of a watch that you're wearing. Are there places where you like seeing your name? Some people have never had their name really honored. I know some people who do not remember their name ever even being spoken in a kind way, because they grew up in a world where that name was not spoken of in kindness. But to think that your name is written in the palm of God's hand. We have a shepherd that knows us by name and loves us, and it's very important that we remember that, because when we forget that, we forget who we are. We forget whose we are. And God said, it's worth doing whatever it takes, leaving even the 99 in order to go and find the one that still doesn't know how much I love them, what I have done for them through Jesus Christ. I think about that when I think about the mother that was asked, you know, which one of your children do you love the most? And she said, well, I love the one that's sick until he's well. And I love most the one that's lost until he's found. And I love most the one that's hurting until that pain has gone away. And I love most the one that's in trouble until those problems have been resolved. And I love most the one that's in danger until she is safe again. And you know, that's kind of what Jesus is saying in this parable. He's talking to Pharisees that were condemning him for hanging around with sinners and tax collectors. And he said, you know, you may think that everything is good with you and God, and I hope it is. I hope that you're right where God wants you to be. But when there is one that is not, you should be one that is concerned, and you should be one that wants to find and wants to rejoice in finding the one that was not in place, that was out of place, that the shepherd, like the shepherd, has gone to find. I don't know about you, but that's something that is a great comfort to me. Sometimes I look at this parable that Jesus tells and I ask myself, well, am I among the 99 that are kind of in place, or am I the one that's lost? You know, the way that I deal with that is kind of in my own life, thinking of myself as 100 parts. There may be 99 parts of me that are in the right place. Now, in my life, I guarantee you, it's not nearly that percentage. But even if it were, you know what God is concerned about in my life? Is that one part that is not in place. It's that worry or that anxiety that I still have about my life and what's going on there. It's that hole that's still in my heart because somebody was a part of my life, and that someone is gone now, and I can't quite shake it. I can't quite get over my grief and go on. Or maybe there's something still there, a mistake that I made, a sin that I'm very aware of, but I still have guilt. I still have a feeling of shame about that. You know what God is interested in? He's interested in that part because He wants us to be whole. You remember what St. Irenaeus says when he said, the glory of God is a person fully alive. It's not good enough just to be partially alive. God wants us to be fully alive. He wants everything that's standing in our way, a fullness in life, to be addressed. And that's what our shepherd comes to do for us. But you know, as a church, I like to think that we have come to value what it means to be a part of a whole, too. In a way, Paul was saying the same thing when he said the body of Christ is made up of many, many parts. Now, it may not sound quite as good as being the one sheep that Jesus talked about where he goes. But you know, Paul said, you know, when you've got parts in the body of Christ, it only takes one part to break down before the whole body shuts down. Have you ever noticed that? I've often thought about that in this body of mine that can take just one little tiny clot to get in an artery at the wrong place and the whole body shuts down. And Paul was saying, you're part of the body of Christ, and you're an important part of that, because if you don't do your part, then Christ is not in this world in the way that Christ wants to be in this world, because the way He wants to be in this world is through the body of Christ, the church. And we need your part. You are important. You cannot go even a moment thinking otherwise, that you are not vitally important, vitally significant for the will of God to be done in this world. I hope today is just a reminder, not really a sermon, but a reminder, because I think we all need to be reminded how important we are in the eyes of our Lord and what He thinks about us. He thinks that we can do a lot of good things, and He has the bar really high, and He says, You go do them. And the reason that I set the bar high is because I know with me, you can go and do that. You can love with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You can love your neighbor. You can grow to be Christ-like. You can go and serve, because the greatest in my kingdom are the servants. And you can go and reach somebody that does not know about the love of God. And I call you to do that because I know you can do it. I created you. I redeemed you. I know what you can do. And you are important for that reason too. So do not forget your importance, because God's purposes in life are depending on you, the one that God has chosen to depend on. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for seeing some of these things that we do, thinking that we're all good or that we're all bad, instead of a mixture, and how you can address the things that need to be addressed in our lives to make us whole and to make us fully yours and fully alive. And we ask that you simply continue to keep that before us, that as we go on from here, we will honor you, we will magnify your name, and our life itself will be something that praises you for all that you've given to us, that has made us so important. In Jesus' name, amen.